2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmor.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to check out all that we have behind the Army barrack walls. You can get access to all of our wonderful MLB VIP tools that we have going on, and also the Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups for all your PGA and NASCAR needs. Once again, promo code WIN, W-I-N, at DFSArmy.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Twitter is where you can find me, at 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. It's Friday, and we got a little appreciation for Keith coming up with Father's Day on Sunday here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite nice that I actually get a day now.
Nobody cares about your birthday?
Are you kidding me? My anniversary is 11 days later.
Oh my. Okay. All right. Just checking. Keith, we all appreciate you every day. None of us want to hear that shit. So
August is going to be crazy, crazy because, I got my birthday the first weekend. I got, Chicago the second weekend. I've got my anniversary the third weekend. We're going to a wedding in North Carolina the fourth weekend. So, and all of this, I will be doing all of this while prepping for NFL.
Yes. And of course, you know, we'll probably have the DFS Army League draft somewhere in that time frame. Last year we did a pretty good job of scheduling the draft when everybody was available. So,
And this year I promise everybody that I won't finish in last place with one win.
Oh man, injuries rattled me at the end of the last, but that's all right. You know what the worst thing in the world is? Like when other people are talking to you about their fantasy teams in the league of which you are not a part of, and it's like, I don't care. And it's funny because I had a lot of people asking me last season, you know, ever since I started doing this full time, like everybody comes to me with their fantasy football questions and whatnot. And, you know, it's fine, but you know, it was a bit overwhelming last year. And, you know, I did help a couple people out. So, you know, I don't mind if it's friends that I talk with and hang out with on a regular basis, that's fine. But when people start coming out of the woodwork of who I only like 50% and they only like me 25%, but they still want some fantasy football questions, I might have to just hit the ignore button this year. I don't know, man.
You know why they do this, right?
Expert analysis?
No, it's because when you're wrong, they want to be able to say, you know what, screw you.
Yeah.
That is true. That is the reason why they do this.
The only bad call I had last year was a really bad one with Zeke Elliott. I figured, you know, there would be more pieces to that that Dallas backfield, and he wouldn't necessarily be getting the lion's share of touches. But other than that, I mean, you know, I had a lot of my buddies that cleaned up picking Drew Brees in like the fifth, sixth round of drafts. That was a big one. You know, of course, Mike Evans with the big years last year as well. But, you know, a couple other ones. Those were just the keynotes of the whole thing.
Yep, exactly. So,
all right.
Anyways, I don't even know who's on the Dallas Cowboys right now because I'm so focused on baseball.
Whoa, big thing. All right, so big news here too. This weekend, I usually have the weekend content, but I got to do a little more prep for packing for this weekend. I was already going away for the weekend, but me and the geek will be live at the Fantasy Sports Trade Association conference over there Monday and Tuesday. So I'm not going to be able to, I'll have content for Monday, but I'm not going to be able to do it over the weekend like I usually do. And then of course Tuesday I won't be able to do it since it's an all-day affair there. So I just wanted to let everybody know that on the pod. But you will be in good hands over the weekend with all the tools that we got, of course. So no worries there.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Let's break it down like we always do. What top stacks are we looking at tonight?
Colorado.
All right. Definitively right off the bat. I like that.
I mean, look, it's June. It's Denver. They're going up against Jeff Samardzija, who they absolutely just like own with a capital W, or
all caps.
O. I mean, if you look at their numbers, Ian Desmond's 8 for 18 with three doubles and a home run. Charlie Blackman's the guy that actually struggles the most against him, and he's, you know, still got him for a home run. Nolan Arenado is hitting .435 with a double and three doubles and a triple. DJ LeMahieu is 7 for 21. Tony Walters is 3 for 10. I mean, these guys, they kind of crush Jeff Samardzija. So, I mean, even Carlos Gonzalez is hitting .267 against him, which isn't bad. That's not owning him, but he does have some history and some good success against him. So, and he should be back in the lineup today. They just wanted to give him a couple days off to kind of get a mental break and everything. So, I mean, I'm going back to it. Tony Walters will be back in the lineup tonight, especially on FanDuel. These guys aren't expensive. I think Charlie's the most expensive guy, and he's, what is he, 4,800? So, it's, I don't mind, you know, stacking up in every way possible the Colorado Rockies tonight. Because as we've seen, Coors Field can Coors Field, and it's not going to it doesn't take much.
Coors gone, Coors. So on the other side of things, I know Sensatella going for the Rockies tonight. Would you keep people away from the Giants, or you still like the Giants there, especially with the atmospheric conditions that we got going on there?
See, it's tough because we burned a lot of – I didn't want to say we burned a lot of guys. They need a good start from Sensatella tonight. So he might have a little bit more, cause this is a 4-game series. And that's one of the reasons why Matt Moore was in there so long last night, was because, you know, Bruce Bochy didn't want to burn through his pen when he's getting blown out, on the first game of a series. I don't mind it. You know, he's pitched pretty well at home. Now I know he struggled against Chicago, but that was, the dude doesn't allow a lot of earned runs. He's going to throw out quality starts. He's one of the best rookies of the pitchers in baseball right now. You know, he, against San Francisco in back-to-back starts, 7 innings, 14 total innings, 4 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 wins, 2 quality starts, and 0 walks. So there's some history here. They, for whatever reason, don't see him very well. He's had success at Coors. I definitely will be higher on Rockies bats than I will on Giants bats, but a couple hedge stacks to go out there, I don't mind it. They're not my favorite plays, just because they are so bad right now. I mean, you gotta sit back and look at who the heroes were last night. Yeah, Buster Posey hit a home run, but Nick Hundley hit a home run. Brandon Crawford hit a home run. I mean, besides Posey and Crawford, all these other guys were, and they're banged up a little bit more. Posey came out of the game with a swollen ankle. Eduardo Nunez pulled a hammy trying to beat out a play. I don't know if they're going to be at full strength. They're going to have to make some roster moves. I mean, they ended up putting it was Anthony Slater at third base last night.
Austin?
Or Austin Slater.
All right.
AC Slater played third base.
Ah, okay. Easy prep it. Watchy preppy. Watch it prep. I can't even talk right now. What am I even talking about?
Yeah.
Watch it preppy. All right. Is for some other ones here that people might not be thinking about. I am sort of interested here in the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Now, they did kind of get off their little funk that – well, I shouldn't even say little funk, but the huge funk that they were in there. And, you know, they did that by going against shitty pitching with the Phillies and the Brewers. So, guess what? They're facing another shitty staff right now in the Baltimore Orioles. And the big thing here for me, the splits against Kevin Gausman this season. He's allowing a .380 batting average, 1.012 OPS – to right-handed batters this season. So the Cardinals certainly got plenty of those that we could take a look at once we get into the position-by-position breakdown, you know, get there to keep the discussion flowing well. But I really like the Cardinals against him tonight. Even the Philadelphia Phillies, if you want to get really sneaky with it, against Patrick Corbin, he has not been the same since, I believe, early May. Just been giving up a ton of runs, a lot of homers. His last start, I believe, was the first time in seven starts that he didn't give up a homer in a start. Certainly going to be in the pitcher's park. And I think a very underrated part for the Phillies tonight is the fact that they just faced not only the best lefty, but probably the best pitcher in the game right now. So, yeah, they got their licks in against him last night. Going up against Patrick Corbin is going to seem like going up against the pitching machine tonight. So you could get a couple interesting guys out of that. I think the Seattle Mariners are pretty interesting tonight, going up against Tyson Ross, making his first start since opening day of last year. He had that thyroid issue, had to get some surgery, or the thyroid Thorad thing.
Thoracic
whatever's,
outlet syndrome.
You got it, buddy. Dr. Hall here to back me up. But he's making his first start since opening day of last season, and we all know the Rangers have one of the worst bullpens in the league. So, again, I don't expect Ross to go too long in this one, but, you know, with the bullpen that they have behind him, probably going to be a nice advantageous night for the Mariners.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I like Tyson Ross. He's won me, I can't tell you how much money. But, you know, going up against this Mariners team that has the ability to put the ball out of the ballpark – and is kind of running, you know, they're not hot, but they're not hot or they're not cold either. You know, they're definitely very interesting tonight, especially with it being as hot as it is in Texas tonight.
Okay. One last one I want to throw out there, maybe the Cleveland Indians. They're going up against a guy, Nick Turley, making his second major league start. Did not fare too well in the opener there, but you got a couple of guys in that lineup that can certainly do some damage. Yeah, I know the Indians aren't really the hottest team in the league right now, but we saw what they did yesterday. You know, just a massive, massive hitting display there against the Dodgers. So maybe that carries over into this game tonight. And of course, the bullpen too for the Twins, not very good at all.
Yeah, exactly. I also like the Houston Astros a lot going up against Drew Pomeranz. You know, soft throwing lefty there in Houston. We've already talked about the heat in Texas right now. Not that Pomeranz can't deal with the heat. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely done it before, but this just seems like a good matchup, in my opinion, with the way that Houston's running right now.
Show enough. All right. Let's talk about some of these pitchers that we got going today. Max Scherzer headlines it. How much exposure are you going to have to him tonight?
It's against the Mets, so probably not a lot, to be completely honest, depending on what lineup they put out. I know Michael Conforto sat out the last couple games with a tight back, but with Juan Lagares going down last night, I fully expect him to be back in that lineup tonight. Yoenis Cespedes has had some pretty good success against him as well. And these are all guys, you know, they're hobbled, they're hurt, they're not fully strength, but there was a line growing up that my grandfather used to tell me as I was learning how to pitch. If they're standing in the batter's box with anything other than chopsticks in their hand, then they're dangerous. And I mean, I'll have a little bit of exposure, but I'm not going to have a lot.
Okay. All right.
He's definitely got the highest ceiling of the night.
Sure.
And a lot of it is going to depend on, you know, exactly what lineup the Mets decide that they want to try to roll out there. But if Michael Conforto and Yoenis Cespedes are in that lineup, then I'm going to have a hard time, you know, really, really, really getting a lot of exposure to Max tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, you add in the fact that, you know, Scherzer has pitched twice against the Mets this season. He's allowed a total of 8 earned runs, you know, 3 earned runs in one of those, 5 in the other. You know, they certainly are capable of taking him yard. They've done this. You know, we have BVP numbers to give us the evidence here. But I get emotionally, this is a pretty big series for the Mets this weekend. Now, you know, with Cespedes back, they look, you know, even Atlanta, they were hitting a little better. But they are, I believe, 10 games behind the Washington Nationals. So if they're going to make up any ground in that division race, it has to be tonight.
They just can't stay this entire healthy weekend. Every single night, one or two people are getting hurt. And we're not talking about, like, you know, little nicks and bruises, you know, like you get when you're shaving in the morning. We're talking about, like, Matt Harvey possibly done, you know. Juan Lagares out indefinitely. We're talking about a lot, or like significant injuries. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, Bernie Madoff has absolutely left his mark on this this Mets team.
That's so funny. I was watching the HBO movie about that, I believe, last week. Pretty good stuff, but. You know what? I mean, it's probably got something to do with it too, right? You're in New York. You probably want to go out a little more than usual. So you probably, you know, instead of spending, you know, 30, 45 minutes at the trainer's table, you're up on a rooftop bar in Manhattan somewhere. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
I mean, I can see that, but we're talking like freak injuries. Like Juan Lagares breaks his thumb or his, I forgot what finger it was, but still, he breaks a finger. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
nah.
Terry Collins has got to be sitting there going, what do I got to do? What is going on to where I don't have to worry about, you know, who's going to be on the shelf tonight? I mean, Yoenis Cespedes is basically playing with one foot right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's got power. And that's really on FanDuel. That's really all you're needing is power.
Yeah.
I don't need him to run and steal bases, and I don't care if he can't move in the outfield. But if he can hit a ball over the fence with a couple guys on, then that's all I need him for.
Fair enough.
And I think the combination of going up against Max and the injuries is going to make them a little bit lower owned. Okay. I know we'll get to him when we do, but I'm just kind of spitting stuff out there.
Yeah, no problem at all. All right, so we had been talking about a couple pitchers here before we hit the record button on this whole thing. So, you know, I know that we're gonna have some similar interests in a couple places, but there were a couple that we didn't get to. Let's talk about Alex Wood first. He is going up against the Reds. He did just face the Reds in his first start off the DL. That was last Saturday that he faced them. Did pretty good. Now, he gave up one earned run, and then he left the game 5 2/3, and he left two guys on base. And I forgot who came in for him out of the bullpen, but I know Devin Mesoraco hit a 3-run homer. Cost him the chance for the win.
And the quality start.
Well, he needed one more out to get there. But he did get two more earned runs tacked on to, you know, what he actually gave up. So, you know, Wood has just been fantastic all season. We take a look at all of his numbers. They're great. The strikeouts that he gets, he makes up for the limited innings that he usually goes. But the cool thing about Wood, he's only allowed 7 extra base hits in 53 2/3 innings this season. Phenomenal. Yeah,
that is dealing. This is one of the reasons, besides Clayton Kershaw, that the Dodgers are continuing to stay pace with the Rockies. You know, that's a 3-team race out there in the West. And Alex Wood is nobody. If you say that you picked Alex Wood, to, on June 16th, have a higher DFS A grade than Max Scherzer, I would have said you're stupid. But, I mean, he does. He's, and it's not like it's a limited sample size. It's 52 innings this season so far. Now, I know Max is pitched almost double, but that's just because the only question I have is, we've seen Dave Roberts. He has short leashes. And I'm not just talking about, oh, you know, getting a little bit of trouble. Nah, he'll go out there in the fourth and yank somebody if he sees fit. Like, I get this analytical bullpen, let's get matchups and all this other stuff. But, you know, you're burning through your bullpen. And I guess I should be thankful. You're burning through your bullpen in June and July. And you're not going to have anything left when it comes to, you know, August and September. Thank you. I'll take that. Because that just means that I'm not going to have to worry about the Dodgers as much. So, but no, I do like Alex Wood. I think he's a great GPP option tonight. I'm going to have a lot of him. I think his dollar per point projection is right near the top, if not the top on the slate. And I don't mind him kind of taking over that de facto optimal number one spot tonight.
Yeah, he is, you know, from the dollar per point perspective, I mean, I really don't see him being too off from Scherzer. Again, I don't expect Scherzer to pitch a shutout tonight. I know, you know, he does have much better road numbers than he does at home, which is fine. It could just be an anomaly. But again, Wood can still get all these Ks that you can get from anybody else, even in that limited amount of innings. Now, I guess there's got to be some concern at the fact that he's facing the Reds for the second time in 6 days, maybe. But Wood's stuff is still pretty nasty. And I will say about Wood, too, that last start that he faced the Reds, again, the numbers were pretty good, but there was no Billy Hamilton or Alex Duvall in the lineup there for the Reds. So they'll be seeing Wood, the new Wood, for the first time this season.
Yeah, there's definite credence for a hedge stack here. And just because now it's not in LA, it's in Cincinnati. You've got that you have to deal with. And we'll get, you know, obviously weather reports throughout the day, but, you know, they don't call it Great American Small Park for no reason, ladies and gentlemen.
Not all. All right. We've got tons of pitchers on this slate. Anybody else here that's going to intrigue you for top guy of the night?
Top guy of the night? No, but SP2s are interesting.
All right.
I guess you could go Carlos Martinez as top guy of the night against the Orioles team that just absolutely is horrific. Carlos Carrasco's got a pretty good initial projection, and his DFS A grade's not bad at all. And you've got Luis Severino.
All right.
If Wood and Scherzer are your top tier, this is your next rung down, and it's not that far off, because we've seen, you know, Carlos Martinez go out there and just strike out everybody. He can walk everybody as well, but he's at least going to give you some K upside. And this Orioles team, you know, they were just shut down by Drew Holberg or David Holmberg yesterday.
Yes.
You know, Luis Severino's had a fantastic year. He gets the A's today. Now, the A's do crush right-handed pitching. And you've got to worry about Chris Davis and Jed Lowry and Yonder Alonso and Ryan Healy. But they also strike out a lot against right-handed pitching. It's 24.6% of the time. That's the third highest on the slate today. So he's a good option. And these Yankee starters are going to go a little bit deeper into games now because of the fact that they lost Chapman, and now Dylan Betances is now their closer. Mm. So they're losing the ability to go, you know, they don't have that as reliable of a gap or a bridge to the back end of that bullpen anymore. So I think as we go along, guys like Michael Pineda, if he's not in trouble, Luis Severino, these guys are going to be asked to go a little bit longer. So that could give you a couple more chances for some K upside. I'll have to look at the history between Carlos Carrasco and the Twins. Ooh. For some reason, I think that the Twins absolutely crush him, but I'm not 100% positive. All right. I'm looking right now. Joe Mauer does.
Yes.
And Brian Dozier hits for power against him, but is hitting under 200 against him in 21 at-bats. Miguel Sano, is 4-for-10. So I don't mind taking a chance on Carlos Carrasco, it looks like.
Hold the phone. Now, he hasn't faced the Twins this season, but 1-4. Now, this is from 2014 and 2016. 1-4, 6.52 ERA. But three of those were relief appearances.
Okay, so you, basically 1-2 with whatever his ERA is then. It's a GPP move, obviously. We know that Carrasco can blow up. We've seen him blow up. But it could be a move that's very, very, very profitable because he does have K upside as well.
Sure. And remember I told you, before we hit record on this damn thing, the Indians and the Twins are playing a doubleheader tomorrow. So it's possible that Francona could ask him to go, an extra inning or two if he's rolling or whatever, maybe try to save the bullpen, all for tomorrow. I'm not sure who's starting tomorrow, but, if they're not as good a start, well, obviously Kluber went the other day, so he's not going, with Carrasco there. So it's possible that they have some of their worst starters going tomorrow, and they're going to need that bullpen.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but remember, when you play a doubleheader, you can call up a 26th man now.
Okay.
So, I most teams, when they play doubleheaders, they bring up an arm, whether it be out of the bullpen or to give them a spot start to start the game. But they're only active for the second game. Like, they can only be active for one game. They can't be active for both games. So it's weird rules, but I see where you're going, and I completely understand, and I agree. I just don't know, unless Carrasco's rolling or the game's close, I don't know. Because Francona's been kind of the guy that's started this whole relief resolution. I mean, he brings in his best reliever isn't even their closer. Right. He brings in his best reliever in the sixth inning to get out of a jam. which is great. It works for him, but it goes against traditional baseball logic. So, there could be I think with a guy like Carrasco, he's going to have a longer leash and ask him to go do, more, like you said. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if he just tries to manipulate tomorrow.
Fair enough.
With that
Fair
extra
enough.
Arm.
All right, let's say a couple other options here. Just quick one-liners on him. James Paxton at Texas. Yeah, the ballpark's not that great, but neither are the Rangers against left-handed pitching. There is a total of 10 in that game, and I feel like a lot of that has to do with the Mariners' offense. Paxton hasn't been that great in his last two outings, but we all know the strikeout upside that he has. The Rangers have struck out at a pretty big rate this season. My boy Aaron Nola going up against the Diamondbacks, not the most advantageous position, but if you're ever going to pick on the Diamondbacks, not a bad spot to do it on the road. Lefties are really the only ones giving Nola any trouble this season, and the Diamondbacks don't have a whole lot of them, so you do have that from a statistical standpoint. And then, of course, Joe Biagini, the pride of Italy or Staten Island, wherever he's from.
They can – hold on. Let's talk about Aaron Nola for a second, because I think you brought up a good point. They can actually roll out five lefties in this lineup.
Okay.
Blanco, Peralta, Jake Lamb, Daniel Descalzo, and Raymond Fuentes.
And Herman.
Oh, and Herman. So they can roll they can roll out six lefties in this lineup. So let's see what lineup they roll out.
Fair enough.
Interest, in Nola if they just roll out their regular lineup.
Sure.
But if they're going to roll out this lefty heavy lineup, that might be going back to stacks since this is in Philly. That might be a very, very interesting stack.
Yeah, fair. No, that's a good point. And I knew that the Diamondbacks had all those lefties, but, you know, they rarely do they go so heavy with the left-handed sticks. But, hey, they got the same stats we do, so let's see if they take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it just takes us talking this out.
Yeah, absolutely.
To come across these sneaky plays. So, who knows, maybe an Arizona-Colorado stack with, somebody is your pitcher. I don't know who it is.
Well, here we go. I got the option with Joe Biagini. Now, numbers, 1-5 doesn't look that great, but he did spend some time in the bullpen this season. 3.38 ERA, 1.02 whip, which is very good. He's gotten at least 7 innings in each of his last 2 starts, has quality starts in each of his last 3. His numbers producing weak contact, ground ball rates, both are very good this season. And, we know the struggles with the White Sox against right-handed pitching. They are pretty big favorites here today against the White Sox as well. And Biagini's numbers at home, 1.01 ERA over 26.2 innings this season there at the Rogers Center are pretty good. So
that might not be tonight.
Yeah, that might not be a bad low cost pitcher option right there.
I'm trying to look and see real quick. He is too cheap on DraftKings or FanDuel.
Nice.
77.
Good to hear.
So he should be probably right around the Sean Manaea, Alex Wood type tonight, but he is not. So.
Yeah, the thing that's comforting to me, quality starts in the last 3, going 7 in the last 2 innings for a guy that started the year in the bullpen. This is all great news.
Yeah, it really is. So,
all right, you're gonna have the last guy I want to talk about, Junior Guerra. The strikeout numbers have been nowhere near what we need from him this season, but it's possible that the Padres could help him out with that tonight.
Yeah, he's only thrown 25.5 innings or 25 2/3 innings this season. We know that he's got higher strikeout. The big thing with Junior Guerra is the fact that, last season, because of the fact that he's only thrown 25 innings, 26 innings, people are going to still be looking at last year's stats. Unless you look at the velocity, you're not going to see, you're not going to be too impressed. Well, the difference is that last year's average fastball velocity was 92, 93. This year it's up to 96, 95, 96. So he's added a couple ticks to his fastball, which makes a world of difference. Especially if he can locate it well. He might not get a lot of strikeouts and everything, but this is the Padres, like you were saying. And this is a team that is not hitting the ball well. Even against right-handed pitching, they do have some pop, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to strike out. They strike out a ton. Mm-hmm. So,
All right.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Because I can't believe I'm about to ask about this guy. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing with Jesse Chavez against the Royals?
I could probably leave it. I think there's if you're doing this late only slate, maybe not a bad idea. But for the full slate, I'm more than comfortable not touching it.
The reason I ask that is when you look at his games and the games that he's performed well in, and he hasn't faced KC this year, but Detroit, Atlanta, and Detroit at the beginning of the month when they were kind of Atlanta, the Mets, he went 5 2/3, but allowed 5 earned runs. But the White Sox, Oakland, he's 6,600. He did shut down Toronto at the end of April, but everybody was shutting down Toronto at the end of April.
Sure.
You know, he's shut down Seattle and Houston before this year. I think he's got some GPP potential.
All right.
Especially on if we look at just the difference in prices, he's more expensive on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. I really do like him as SP2 on DraftKings tonight at $6,100.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too big on picking on the Royals nowadays. I mean, they are hitting so much better. They just dominated Johnny Cueto the other day.
Yeah, but that's a revenge type thing. I mean, Johnny Cueto.
But like, in San Francisco. I mean,
he won
impressive.
A World Series with them, and he goes out and he basically trashes and says, the reason I struggled here is because it wasn't, it's just.
I don't think you're giving the Royals enough credit. I mean, over the last, 3 weeks, I'll say, I mean, they have been, I don't want to say one of the better offenses in the league, but they sure as hell are not near the bottom where they were. I mean, you got Mike Moustakas, Salvi Perez, even, Eric Hosmer getting in on the mix. I mean, they've done some pretty good hitting lately in the parks that we know or we have not known to be that glamorous. I mean, they're doing it at their own home park. They're doing it in San Francisco, San Diego, places like that. So I'm gonna give them some credit.
Okay. He's interesting to me. He might not even make the list, but he is interesting to me.
Fair enough. Now, I don't even know why I'm bringing it up. I came across the name, but Mike Fiers had a pretty good day against the Angels in his last start. We saw Nick Pivetta have a great game against the Red Sox last night. Can Fiers do it again?
He can. The question is Boston's been doing this, good game, bad game thing as a team. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, to come out and get dominated by Nick Pivetta last night, I mean, I know he's your boy and all, but.
Former 3-time All-Star in the minor leagues. I mean, come on. This did not come out of nowhere. No, it did.
I mean, he's 6,600 on DraftKings. He's going to get, he's going to get run support. He's gone at least 5 innings in his last 3 starts. And his price is actually depressed from his last start, probably because he's facing Houston. So, right. I don't mind it. He's not going to throw more than 100 pitches. He's going to give you probably right around that 5-6 K mark. He's going to get some ground balls. His last 3 starts, he's started to put something together a little bit, and he's won his last 3 starts, so he's not walking people, which was a big problem early in the season. And he's not allowing the long ball, which is something that he was doing early in the season. I mean, his early season home run totals were 3-2-4-2-2-1-1. His last 3 games, he's kept the ball in the ballpark. Maybe we can ride a hot streak a little bit with him at a low ownership and maybe get something out of it.
Indeed. Now, I had to bring up Fiers because last week on last Saturday, people were asking about him against the Angels. I said, no way, this guy sucks. And they're not striking out. And he goes out and has the start of his life. So, yes, I ate my words.
Second
folks.
Start of his life. He has a perfect game.
Okay. All right.
Or
all
no
right.
hitter. One of the two.
Can't I just make some generalities? I mean, come on, man.
Well, if your generalities are inaccurate, then.
All right. Come on. All right, that was a pretty good breakdown on the pitchers today. So let's keep it rolling with these catchers. A couple of interesting plays here I got in mind, but let's start it out with you. Who are you thinking here?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Tony Walters is interesting. He's only, I think, 3,000 on FanDuel.
Lefties rip the shark.
Yes, and Tony Walters, he's 33, I'm sorry. He's actually cheaper on DK. He's not going to hit for a lot of power, but he is going to hit. And he does have some double possibility and stuff like that in there. Of course, we can go back to our old boy, Alex Avila.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they. I was watching MLB Network last night, and they, you know, they dropped in to last night or the night before I was watching it, and they dropped in to the Tigers game, and they're saying, and it's crazy that we talk about Alex Avila being the best hitter on this Tigers team, but you know, they're not totally wrong.
No, not right now. They're not. I mean, other than JD Martinez.
Well, not only that, JD, Miggy Kinsler, you know, to call him the best hitter, I don't think anybody would be thinking about that, but just an interesting point.
Yeah, well, what I was about to say was, other than JD Martinez, he's been their most consistent hitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Upton's had hot streaks, and, you know, Castellanos hits lefties, and, you know, Kinsler's had his moments as well, and Miggy had the walk-off bomb last night, but, you know, he hasn't been right all season. So, yeah, I mean, it's not hard to really see it, but with the names that they have, it's kind of shocking.
Mm-hmm.
We have Norris versus Norris Crime going on tonight.
Ah.
Derek Norris versus Daniel Norris.
Right.
I also don't mind Yan Gomes going up against Nick Turley. I think he's going to be sneaky. Russell Martin and Evan Gattis. I mean, the only reason that, and of course you've got to watch out. Gary Sanchez came out of the game last night, so you've got to watch that.
And he is going against the lefty.
Yeah, and there's another one, but he's raised that ISO all the way up to 222 now with those two home runs in one game. But you know, it's kind of one of those things. The only reason Tony Walters is interesting is because of the fact that, you know, lefties kill Jeff Samardzija, and he's in Coors, and he's relatively cheap for in Coors. But other than that, I mean, if it was any other, if the Rockies were on the road, then I wouldn't have as much interest in Samardzija. It'd be everybody else that's got over a 220 ISO versus left-handed or the handedness that they're facing. I've really kind of been focusing a lot on, you know, power and OB ISO, because what it's helped do is, yeah, you're going to get on base, but guess what? I'm also going to contribute the doubles and the triples. And if you're at the top of that lineup, it produces RBIs as well.
Indeed. I like both catchers from the Rangers Mariners game tonight. We've got Jonathan Lucroy, who's got a decent PVP there against Paxton in the short term. Mike Zunino, we know, who's always good for some power. I think Vegas likes the Mariners a lot tonight, so that could be a good one. You mentioned Tony Walters already. Brian McCann, kind of interesting to me in the left-on-left matchup. He is hitting 303 against southpaws this season. He's got four homers against him as well. And we talked about this not too long ago with the Astros being ass backwards in their platoon splits. Like, they'll always throw McCann out there against a lefty. It's very possible that we could see Gattis and McCann in the same lineup tonight. So, yeah, I don't even mind Gattis in there either, but I think McCann's an excellent tournament play, just, you know, given how well he's hit left-handed pitching. I don't think too many people are going to go that way.
No, I don't. I will say this, unless it's a part of a Seattle stack on DraftKings, I can't play Mike Zunino. He's $3,900.
Oh my.
So I can't do that there. Now, I will have a Seattle stack, so I'll probably throw him in there, because I think combined with the price and the fact that he's, you know, going to be towards the bottom of that lineup, I don't think he's going to be highly owned. Mm-hmm. At all. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I like that little, you know, nugget about McCann, and most people are going to kind of obviously, you know, pivot to Evan Gattis with the platoon advantage and kind of overlook the fact that Brian McCann has been, you know, hitting left-handed pitching very well this season.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I got nothing left for the catchers. So if you want to move it along,
of course.
All right, first baseman, who are you liking here tonight?
Justin Smoke.
Justin Smoke, definitively.
Definitively.
What's up with him?
He's Justin Smoke, and he's been crushing the ball this season.
Dynamite dropping, Monty.
He's got the highest DFSA grade. He's Justin Smoke and be crushing the ball, and he's cheaper than Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, okay. Who I was going to bring up, but I guess we might as well do it right now. Yeah, with Zimmerman going up against the
very
lefty.
This position is very top heavy today. I've noticed.
Indeed, indeed. Well, if we're going to go with a guy like Biagini, then we can afford whoever the hell we want. Of course, Anthony Rizzo there at the probably going to be batting leadoff again with two leadoff homers in two straight days at the top of the Cubs lineup. I don't see any reason for Joel Maddon to move him out of there. So he's a pretty good option. Probably going to be popular just because of the fact that he's homered in that spot twice in a row. But, you know, and it's weird to say, well, all he did was homer in that last game. You know, kind of, I think we expect our first baseman to do a little more. So we'll certainly need that. I think a lot of people will probably forget all about Matt Adams, but we know that at SunTrust Park, this guy just does nothing but crush the ball. Going up against Straley, a guy who's always had favorable home road splits favoring towards the home side. On the road, it's been a much different story for him. So I could stick with Fat Adams.
Yeah, we can't. I know we don't like him because we really like Joe Biagini today, but Matt Davidson has homered in four straight games.
Against Baltimore pitching.
Hey, to homer in four straight games, I don't care if it's against, you know, me and you throwing out there. That's still impressive. Yeah. Mark Reynolds, obviously, you know, Coors.
Indeed.
And Mark he's having an all-star year. And it's unfortunate that he's only available to be a write-in vote for the all-star game, but you know, that's definitely a possibility. Eric Thames has homered in back-to-back games as well, so he's starting to turn on the and he's the highest projected pitcher or hitter of the day.
Really? Interesting. And that comes on the back end of Thames really struggling. I mean, I'm not talking about the struggles that he had immediately after hitting the 14 homers in April. Like, recently, Thames had been terrible, but I believe two of these last games, he's really turned it up. So
yeah, he's homered in back-to-back games against the Cardinals.
With his 80-pound elbow protector.
Oh, my gosh. It's a Korean one as well.
Yeah, that is true. The Korean Nike.
Yeah, you've got Matt Carpenter. Can't forget about Yonder Alonso. He had another home run last night, so... and then Marwin Gonzalez as well. So there's a lot of options. And I will be, you know, pun intended, I will be going dong hunting at first base today.
I see what you did there. Hey, all right, I got a couple others. Tommy Joseph against Patrick Corbin. Can't forget that. Joseph been very powerful at home. Needless to say, no surprise there at Citizens Bank Park. Edwin Encarnacion been swinging a little better lately. He's facing a lefty tonight, and he'll get to face that Twins bullpen. Turley only went four innings in his first start, so I don't expect him to go too much further. And we got that. Logan Morrison, even going up against the lefty Norris, he's not a bad option. I like Morrison a lot here. I don't think a lot of people are going to be going that way, especially left on left. Norris really has not been that good at Comerica Park, not only this season, but over the course of his career. He's like consistently had an ERA over 5 there at Comerica Park over the course of his career. So we could even talk about the Raid. I didn't even bring them up during the stack, but that's not a bad idea. And I really like Ryan Zimmerman against Steven Matz. You know, Zimmerman's just absolutely crushed left-handed pitching, so don't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your normal guys that you can throw in there. Obviously, Coors is always going to be there. You know, you've got Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman, Bryce Harper. They're going to be there as well. So there's a lot of good options there at the first base position today.
Oh, for sure. All right, first, second base. What are we looking at here?
Hey, do we have to?
I mean, if you don't want your lineup to be invalid.
DJ LeMahieu's hot. And I know he doesn't bring a lot of quote unquote power, but with Charlie Blackman getting on base, there's RBI opportunities there and there's run scoring opportunities because guess who's hot and hitting right behind him?
Oh, that'd be Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course you've got Ian Happ going up against Trevor Williams. You know, that's a pretty good option. I don't want to say this guy, but I'm going to Chase Utley versus Tim Adelman.
Philly Gray.
Going into Cincy.
Gee, why didn't you want to say him?
Because I can't stand Chase Utley. Can't stand him. Robinson Cano against Tyson Ross.
Yeah.
And
two doubles and a homer off in lifetime and 12 at bats.
Yeah. Exactly. So if it wasn't for the fact that Jed Lowry was going up against Luis Severino, I'd probably throw some Lowry exposure in there. And I probably will still have a little bit, but it's not going to be a lot.
All right. We talked about the struggles of Straley on the road. We can continue. Brandon Phillips, he had a monster game yesterday. So if that's any indication of how this whole thing is I'm sorry, was that yesterday or Wednesday?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Yeah, he had that monster game there against Tanner Roark and the horrendous Nationals bullpen. So Phillips can keep that going. Not a bad spot to go there. Certainly will be low owned.
Yeah, and whichever St. Louis Cardinal is going against Kevin Gausman tonight.
Okay. You mentioned Daniel Murphy not too long ago. I don't know why I'm liking so many left-on-left matchups tonight, but Daniel Murphy, again, torturized the Mets. You know, massive night last night. He can certainly do it again. He has homered against Mats in his career before. But again, a guy like Mats, not too overpowering of a left-handed pitcher. I mean, Murphy can hit anybody, but, you know, it's certainly not going to present too many problems for him. The only thing I worry about with Mats is him, you know, throwing their guys chasing his low pitches in the strike zone. But again, Murphy can hit it off a bounce. He'd be a fantastic cricket player.
Kind of like Vladimir Guerrero.
Indeed, indeed. And Ichiro, otherwise known as Ichiro in the States.
Yep.
Looking here. Yeah, I like the Utley play there against Adelman. Pretty decently high total in that Dodgers-Reds game, so I feel like a lot of that's going to have to do with the Dodgers. Adelman's been pretty good at limiting damage, but you know he still allows a lot of guys on base. We talked about that the other day with Matt Harvey. You know, you keep allowing these guys on base and limiting your damage. Well, you know, it appears like the guys are still going to be there on base and limiting the damage might not be there in every start. So it's just a matter of time before it all falls down.
Yeah, it's not going to be looking good for him.
Nuh-uh. All right, third base?
One guy only. And if you're not playing him, then you're just doing it wrong because there's no reason to go anywhere else.
I'll make a case for that, but go ahead.
It's Nolan Arenado.
Okay.
It's not even close, dude. Like, you can make a case for every other. I mean, the only one I maybe might entertain is Josh Donaldson.
Okay. We're certainly going. I'll have some sneakier options. But yeah, Nolan Arenado, very hot. Not that it's going to make much of a difference, but Samardzija has been pretty good against right-handers this season. It's the lefties that have been giving him trouble. But again, with the conditions at Coors Field, it shouldn't matter too much. The one I really like, though, tonight, Jed Jerko. Now, say what you want about the guy, but he is...
He helped me win a cue. I can't say anything bad about him.
All right. Well, that was for some of the listeners as well. But, you know, the thing about Jerko is he's always been amazing against right-handed pitching. Well, Kevin Gausman tonight, I mentioned at the top of the show when we talked about the Cardinals lineup, Gausman allowing a .380 average to right-handed hitters this season. The ballpark is great for Jerko to hit in tonight. Much bigger upgrade as opposed to them being in Busch Stadium. So him at Camden Yards, going to be a good thing. Now, he hasn't, you know, been hitting that well lately. His last big game was against the Phils last week. But, you know, he's still putting up some kind of points, getting on base, you know, via the walk or whatever. But again, but against Gausman, I feel like this could be a good spot for him to get back in our good graces. And he's only 3,000 on FanDuel. So the matchup, the numbers with the handedness and the splits and all that kind of stuff, that lines up about as perfectly as you could possibly get. Will he get the job done? Tune in at 7 o'clock to find out, folks.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get paid for that read from whatever network the Cardinals are on. Boom.
Fox Sports Midwest.
I know the Orioles are on Masson, but, you know, we were talking about the Cardinals. Don't mean to sound like a homer again, but Michael Franco has been swinging the bat a lot better. He kind of got his groove back during that Boston series of all times. So I don't mind him. He's got the left the matchup against Patrick Corbin tonight, so it's possible that he could separate and release. We'll see. You know, I guess Chris Bryant, of course, always going to be an option there for the Cubs. Don't mind that, but yeah, I mean, I know you're not going to have any other options to help me out with here since you're full blown on Arenado. But
I mean, I could help you out, but
okay, all right.
I'm not gonna. I mean, Jake Lamb. Miguel Sano. Actually, here's a sneaky one. Ryan Healy.
Okay.
Luis Severino. He's actually hitting the ball pretty well right now. I mean, it's third base and first base are really top heavy. Jake Lamb, Travis Shaw, Josh Donaldson. I mean, I'm not going anywhere else besides. I mean, I'll have some exposure to other guys, but the majority of my exposure at the third base position is going to be between those two.
And remember, we talked about the struggles of Aaron Nola against left-handed hitters, so Jake Lamb.
He'll probably be the third highest owned for me.
Okay. Not a bad idea, especially in Citizens Bank Park. Great atmosphere for hitting.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Actually, in that Colorado, I name crossed my mind here too. With Eduardo Nunez, I know he's like, oh, he is.
He'll be out.
Okay.
I mean, they only had Nick Hundley and Gorkys Hernandez on their bench last night, and he had to come out of the game. Like he couldn't even tough it out. He had to come out of the game last night.
Yeah, hamstring injury yesterday. So all right.
They said they're going to give him a couple days. Said they're he's probably going to avoid the DL, but they're going to give him a couple days.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, I mean, like I know you're hell bent on Arenado, which is totally understandable. I just love the matchup there with Jed Jerko, so that's probably the way I'm going to go.
I mean, shorts, it's not a bad matchup at all.
No. I mean, hell, that's why he's on there. With shortstops tonight, you could even continue it with Aledmys Diaz going up another righty against Gausman. Diaz has had very good numbers here of late. Over the last 10 games, he's hitting .306, four doubles, two homers, four RBIs, seven runs. Mainly, the thing that intrigues me is the splits there against Gausman. But, you know, Frankie Lindor against the Twins, he's always had great numbers against the Twins over his career. 309, seven doubles, three triples, three homers, 21 RBIs against them. So that's a nice option. Who do you like in there, shortstop?
I really, really, really am having a hard time getting off of Alan Cordoba, going up against Junior Guerrero, especially if he's at the top of that lineup. He's 2,200 on FanDuel and 26 on DraftKings.
Oh my.
I mean, he's, as far as dollar per point at the shortstop position, it's him and Taylor Motter, and then it's everybody else. So I'm having a really, really hard time getting off of him. Now, granted, a lot of that is going to have to do, or has to do with the fact that, you know, I've got a Max Scherzer lineup going out there, or I've got, you know, Blackman, Nolan, Mark Reynolds, and, you know, Ian Desmond, or, you know, a stack like that going as well, because of the fact that they're so expensive, or they're more expensive. But that's kind of the reason that I've got it. Now, make no mistake about it. It's you're going to have to be wary of salary on FanDuel, but it is not difficult to make lineups on FanDuel today.
Mm-mm.
Their salary has gotten pretty soft over the last 4 or 5 days, and usually when that happens, the scoring starts to go up a little bit, but people start to gravitate towards towards guys. And if we feel, and I'll pay attention throughout the day, but if we feel like guys are going to be 30% owned, 35% owned, and they don't have double dong potential, I'll fade them. So if Alan Cordoba ends up, you know, becoming chalk, I'll fade him and I'll go somewhere else. But
I'll fade him, bruh.
Right now, as of right now, where he's projected in the lineup and his price, it's very, very, very tough to get off of him. The other guy I have a lot of interest in is Orlando Arcia with Milwaukee on the other side of that game, going up against Miguel Diaz. So,
I know we talked about Fires being a potential potential good starter today, but over the course of his career, he has struggled against right-handed batters more. And you know, Xander Bogaerts, top hitting shortstop in the league right now with 79 hits. Only 2 homers, 26 RBIs, but still, the guy gets on base, batting third for one of the best offenses in baseball. So not a bad way to go there. Again, you know, I've been doing this all show, but why the hell stop now with the left-on-left matchups? Didi Gregorius, I mean, you know, he's been hitting well, and you know, he's going to face another lefty in Sean Manaea tonight. Again, not my favorite play, but you want to get freaky in tournaments, that's not a bad option.
No, it's not at all.
All right. Anyone else?
Not really.
Brandon Crawford, maybe?
I don't have a lot of interest on picking. I mean, maybe as a one-off. Okay. I'm definitely not stacking against Senzatella, but I don't mind like a Belt or a Crawford or a Pence as a one-off.
Belt. We didn't even talk about him at first.
I mean, why would we?
Because he's in Coors.
He's going up against the best rookie pitcher in baseball right now.
Well, it's a rookie. Could get hit any time now. I mean, hell, the Phils beat Chris Sale last night. Woo! All right, I'm done. Let's talk about outfielders. Charlie Blackmon going to lead it for me, going up against Samardzija, who has struggled against left-handed pitching. Would it interest you to know that Ben Gamel has the most hits of any outfielder over the last 7 days?
No. I mean, it doesn't interest me because I already know it. I mean, I've been rostering this guy and been watching him kind of, you know, take flight.
Absolutely. I mean, he's 500 in that span, so 15 for 30. Five doubles, 3 RBIs, 2 walks, 7 runs over the last 7 days. Even a stolen base in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's kind of just been doing it all. So.
I like that. Again, another guy that could get some exposure to that shitty Rangers bullpen.
Yeah, I'm actually looking a couple other places. I mean, he's like I said, he's part of the Seattle stack that I've got been looking at right now. But you know, Brian Goodwin had an amazing night last night. He's still really cheap, 31 on DK, 26 on FanDuel.
Is he a switch hitter or strictly left?
He's strictly left.
All right, just because the Mets have Mats on the mound, so I don't know if.
Yeah, he's still hitting 429. He's still got a 655 WOBA and a 429 ISO against left-handed pitching, though. So.
Okay. Limited numbers.
Yeah, I don't know how many at bats it is, so don't think I'm telling you he's the next Hall of Famer, but you know, you got George Springer versus Drew Pomeranz, yes. And. We keep saying it, and he keeps being low-owned. Giancarlo in the two-hole. shall be hitting a lot better than anywhere else.
Yes, yes. So. Yeah, he's got the platoon advantage at SunTrust tonight. Even his teammate, Marcelo Zuna, good hitter there as well. So he's a good option.
I have a lot of interest in Miami bats.
Yeah, that Springer play, too, is really good. He has just been dominant against left-handed pitching. I mean, we've looked at the numbers. Let's see here. J.D. Martinez, I mean, he's not facing a lefty tonight. But his numbers against lefties are amazing. But with George Springer, I want to take a look because they're insane. Where are you, George?
George Springer, 491 WOBA, 414 ISO, 855 OBISO versus left-handed pitching this season.
Yeah, seven homers against the lefties as well.
Yeah, he's been making the money. So another guy that's very, very interesting to me, Aaron Altherr.
Okay.
Versus Mr. Paddy Corbs. If he's in that 2 or 3 hole tonight, I know they've been putting Odubel Herrera in that one hole. That might not be a bad little 1-2 stack if Altherr's in that 2 hole.
Yeah, sure. And, of course, Howie Kendrick not swinging a bad bat.
Or maybe even, yeah, mm-hmm. I completely forgot about Kendrick, but maybe that's a nice little stack as a 1-2-3.
I did. So, yeah, Altherr had a very nice series there against the Red Sox, so.
Yep.
Good to see him get back in the mix.
Matt Kemp. And then we kind of talked about him a little bit already, but the combination of Michael Conforto and Jonas Cespedes, if they're in the lineup.
Yeah, even Granderson's been hitting pretty well lately, too.
I don't think he's done well against Scherzer, has he?
I don't think so either.
I said those two just strictly for BVP purposes.
Oh, okay.
When you've got 6 hits and 15 at bats versus Scherzer and 3 of them are home runs, yes, please.
I only wrote down the good BVP for the Mets offense section today, but you got Jose Reyes 7-for-23, Conforto, as you mentioned, and Jay Bruce 4-for-13.
Yeah, and another guy I don't mind is Jake Mariznick.
Ah, okay. Don't mind that. How about Andrew McCutchen? He's been hitting pretty well lately. Eddie Butler actually has one of the higher line drive rates in Major League Baseball at 31.8%, 7th highest among starting pitchers with at least 75 batted balls. I saw the ridiculous number on that, too. Like, on line drives hit against Eddie Butler, people have like a 670 batting average. It's insane. So it'll be interesting to see if that all continues.
Yeah, when he gets hit hard, he gets hit really hard. And I don't know if they've ever faced off against each other. With Eddie pitching for Colorado, I wanted to say. Okay, so John Jaso has 2 hits against him. This looks like to be 1 game. So McCutchen was 1-for-4. Looks like Mercer was 1-for-3. Cervelli 1-for-4. Freeze 1-for-4. And Jaso was 2-for-4.
Hmm.
So Jordy Mercer's the guy that got him for the home run. And he's got 4 strikeouts. There's not a lot, but just to kind of back up the point that you were saying, the average exit velocity, besides Josh Harrison's 83 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
Francisco Cervelli has the lowest, and it's 90.5.
Wow.
Jordy Mercer, 101.7. John Jaso, 96.2. Andrew McCutchen, 96.2. David Freese, 96.1. Gregory Polanco, 96.4.
Shush.
So, yeah, it's not a good – and this total in Pitt is a little high for it being Pittsburgh. It's at a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that has to do with the – you know, I love Eddie. He's a really good guy, but – you know, let's call it like it is. He gets hit hard. he's not an upper tier pitcher. And this, I don't want to say this could be a sneaky game stack, but when a total in Pitt is higher than a total in Philly or Baltimore.
Yeah. We just saw it last weekend with the outrageous totals that they had against the Marlins, and they all came to fruition.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be something to look at. Maybe not a full-on stack, but, you know, if you're sitting here looking at them, Polanco's under 3K on FanDuel. Josh Bell's under 3K on FanDuel. You know, these guys are all very, very, very affordable.
Now, you mentioned John Jace. I saw this stat yesterday. I just wanted to bring it up. As a pinch hitter this season for Jaso,
I don't want to talk about it.
He 351, 4 homers, and 16 RBIs. That's incredible.
Yeah, don't want to talk about it.
One last guy that I want to bring up for the outfielders, Aaron Hicks. Against left-handed pitching this season, 4 homers, 13 RBIs, 323 average, 975 OPS as well. So he'll be going up against Manaea. Oakland been sneaky for power this season. I don't know how Chris Davis. Yes, she's in there as well. But I think we've outlined some pretty damn good plays for everyone today. So good luck with all of that. I mentioned at the beginning of the show I'm going to be away for the weekend, so I'm not going to be able to do the pod on Monday or Tuesday, so hopefully we can get Chop or Wags or somebody else in here to help Keith out with that. But I will be back Wednesday and, you know, gearing up, ready to go.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. And also remember, too, if you're not signed up with the DFS Army, go to dfsarmy.com. Use that promo code WIN, W-I-N. Try us out for 7 free days. If you like it, congratulations. You can be part of the gang. If not, to hell with you. We're done with you.
Let's go, Ricky Fowler. Yay!
Yeah, boo.
Hey, he's an Oklahoma State boy.
Okay, whatever. So, you're a Sooners fan, and you prayed for the downfall of Cowboys.
Yeah, but when my wife's an OSU alum.
Okay.
Hey, happy wife, happy life.
Indeed. All right, folks. Good luck today in all your contests, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace out.